www.attableek.com, the reviver of Iman.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa usalli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. Wa man ihtada bihadihi wa qtada bisunnatihi ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ أخذنا ميثاق بني إسرائيل لا تعبدون إلا الله وبالوالدين إحسانا وذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وقولوا للناس حسنا وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة ثم توليتم إلا قليلا منكم وأنتم معرضون. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, friends and elders, let me first commence by congratulating the entire committee and community, congregation and students alike, for the annual graduation jalsa that was in process this morning. May Allah bless your endeavors. May Allah reward you, and may Allah grant us and our children beneficial knowledge. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, kun aliman aw muta'alliman aw mustami'an aw muhibban wa la takun ar-rabih. Become a scholar of deen in the true sense of the word, which Hassan Basri said, innama az-zahid fi ad-dunya innama al-alim az-zahid fi ad-dunya ar-raghib fi al-akhirah. A true scholar is one who possesses the knowledge of this world, possesses the knowledge of deen, who doesn't have attachment and inclination to the amenities of this world, who motivates people and brings them close to Allah, and who doesn't make them despondent in the mercy of Allah. Man lam yuqannit an-nasa min rahmatillah وَلَمْ يُرَخِّسْ لَهُمْ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. In the words of Ali radiallahu anhu, a true scholar is one who doesn't make people lose hope in the mercy of Allah, nor give them concession in the disobedience of Allah. So the balance between the two. So become a scholar, kun aliman, aw muta'alliman, or then become a learner. Become a learner. Aw muhibban, aw mustami'an. Or then listen to both of them attentively. If you cannot become a scholar, you cannot become a student, then listen to them both attentively. Oh muhibban, or then love them all. وَلَا تَكُنِ الرَّابِعِ. But do not despise or dislike or shun them, because that is the recipe for disaster. And honestly speaking, it is through knowledge and the sacred knowledge of deen that the children and the generation will be protected and insulated. There's an amazing discussion that is mentioned in Tanbihul Ghafileen, where somebody asked Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what is greater? Should I give my child the knowledge of deen, or should I empower him with wealth? What is a greater gift and asset that I can give? Ideally, give your children both. If Allah has made it possible and they can complement and combine and simultaneously pursue academics and Islamiyat, the more better, the merrier. But if I were to choose between one of two, should I be giving them the sacred knowledge of deen, or should I be giving them the wealth of this world? And look at how profound the answer of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said the answer is obvious, there's no two opinions, that the greater between the two is the knowledge of deen. But the person asked him, what's the proof? What is the proof? What is the proof that the knowledge of deen is greater? And this is something amazing. He said, لِأَنَّكَ تَحْرُسُ الْمَالَ وَالْعِلْمُ يَحْرُسُكَ. لِأَنَّ الْمَالَ يَنْقُسُ بِالْبَذْلِ وَالْعِلْمُ يَزْدَادُ بِالْبَذْلِ. لِأَنَّ صَاحِبَ الْعِلْمِ يَنْقَطِعُ ذِكْرُهُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ وَصَاحِبُ الْعِلْمِ ذكره باق بعد الموت، لأن صاحب المال يسأل عن كل درهم، وصاحب العلم يرفع له بكل حديث درجة. Why? The first thing, if you leave behind wealth for your children, then you need an executive and you need a trustee and you need someone to protect that wealth. How often you leave behind handsome amounts of money and the money is devoured, it's embezzled, it's abused by family members and the inheritance is not distributed correctly. So wealth requires protection. But if you leave behind the knowledge of deen, then deen will protect your child. Money, you need someone to protect it, but the knowledge of deen will protect your child. Number one. Number two, لِأَنَّ الْمَالَ يَنْقُسُ بِالْبَذْلِ. The more you spend of your wealth, it decreases, it diminishes. But the more you spend of your knowledge, it increases. The more a person conveys and disseminates, his knowledge increases. Number three, a man who owns a wealth and an empire, he would be answerable for every cent, every dollar, every pound. Whereas the man who acquires the knowledge of deen on every hadith, he will be elevated in Jannah. Number four, a man is known for his wealth and famous because of his wealth as long as he has wealth, or probably till he is alive. But once he moves on, the chapter closes. Whereas many a people with knowledge, their fame became even more post their demise than while they were alive. Imam Shafi rahimahullah says, and I often quote this, he says, قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُونَ. Some people are physically alive, but their evil has killed them before their death. And others are physically dead, but their good character has kept them alive even after their demise. Yani marne ke baad bhi unke amal ki wajah se wo abhi tak zinda hai. Log inke zikra khair karte hain, unka tazkira karte hain. People remember them, cherish them. So it is of paramount importance that we understand and impress upon ourselves and our children the value of deen, the importance. Another very important difference, in a typical academic tertiary institution, a child growing up is constantly reminded of what people and society owe him. That this is the mindset. Listen, by 10, you can ask this from your dad. By 11, you're entitled. By 12, it's your right. By 15, you can sue. By 18, you can take legal action. That's the norm. Your dad owes you, your mom owes you, your sibling owes you, society owes you, the community owes you. So these are the kind of messages that are imprinted on the subconscious mind of this young boy as he's growing up. So he grows up with a great amount of expectation. Dad, you failed me. Mom, you haven't delivered. My brother hasn't offered. Society hasn't given. These are the kind of gripes he has. Whereas that same child, in an Islamic ethos, in an Islamic environment, what is he told? Listen, this is what you owe your dad. This is what you owe your mom. This is what you owe your neighbor. This is what you owe humankind. This is what you owe the animal kingdom. أَلَنَا فِي الْبَهَائِمِ أَجْرٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Oh, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will we be rewarded if we kind to an animal? And the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, feed any creature and paradise is yours. And O Prophet of Allah, I carried my mom for 6 miles in such heat. لَوْ أَلْقَيْتُ فِيهَا بُضْعَةً مِنْ لَحْمٍ لَنَضَجَتْ فَهَلْ أَدَّيْتُ شُكْرَهَا. That if I were to throw a piece of flesh on the ground, it would roast in seconds. In such heat, I carried my mom on my back. Have I discharged the due of my mom? And the Messenger ﷺ said, it hasn't balanced out for the agony you have caused her for one turn in her womb. So with an Islamic ethos in an ideal environment, the child grows up not with a demanding attitude. And I must also say something while I'm on at it. Islamically, when you're a child, koi bacha ho, to uske liye pyar hi pyar hai. Hamari shariat mein bacche ke liye pyar, shafqat, muhabbat. Ye hamari shariat ka موقف ہے, ہماری شریعت کا ارشاد ہے, ہمارے آقا کا فرمان ہے. If you're a kid, if you're a child, Islam has only love, kindness and affection for you. And we need to take heed and we need to be cognizant of this. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an embodiment of love, kindness and gentleness. He was on the minbar and Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu walked in and he said, I couldn't resist it. And he dismounts from the minbar and he embraces them and he said, Innama amwalukum wa awladukum fitna. Indeed, your wealth and your children are a test. When I seen him falling, I had to pick him up. And the narration of Bidayah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets home and he gets on his fours and then Hassan radiallahu anhu on his back. And then Sayyidina Ali walks in and he looks at his son Hassan and he said, Ni'mal Markab, wahua, aapko bari pyari sawari mil gayi. You got a very lovely conveyance. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why don't you compliment me? I have a great passenger as well. Ni'mal Rakib, I have a great passenger. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, Inni la yu'jibuni an yakuna ar-rajulu fi ahlihi mithla as-sabi. فَإِذَا بُغْيَ مِنْهُ حَاجَةٌ وُجِدَ رَجُلٌ. I just love it when a man at home can become a kid. In English they say home is a place where the young become old and the old become young. The young become old and the old become, oh, he's the boss. He's the big guy. The guy tomorrow baap no baap. Tomorrow baap no baap. Badda ne vechi na kya. ہمارے دادا تھے اللہ ان کو جنت دے, وہ کہتے تھے جو رری نے آوے نے تے ماری نے آو, مار کھائنے نہیں آو, یہ ماری نے آو. So at home, that homely environment, that love, that affection, that's what Islam teaches you. Islam teaches that if it's a kid, just give him love and love and love. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is performing Asr Salah. The hadith is in Bukhari. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. They exit from the sacred masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With Abu Bakr is Sayyidina Ali. Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma were outside playing. Abu Bakr pauses. He looks at Hassan. He embraces him. And what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say regarding Hassan? Inna bni hadha sayyid. Wala'alla Allah an yusliha bihi bayna fi'atayni azimatayni min al-muslimin. This boy of mine, he's a leader. And today he's a kid. But he's going to grow up to become such a great leader that I'm optimistic from Allah that he will be the means of reconciling between two factions of the Ummah. This boy of mine is a great leader in the making. Hassan radiallahu anhu resembled the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the head coming down to the belly button. And Hussein radiallahu anhu resembled Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the belly button going down. And Fatima radiallahu anha's walk, مَا كَانَتْ مِشْيَتُهَا تُخْتِئُ مِنْ مِشْيَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم, was a precise walk like the walk of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So in that way, between children and mum, Allah had captured the image and the walk of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. أَشْبَحْتَ خَلْقِي وَخُلُقِي أَشْبَحْتَ خَلْقِي وَخُلُقِي. Abu Bakr radiallahu picked up Hassan radiallahu. He picked him up. Imagine this. Abu Bakr had lost the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a colossal responsibility on the shoulders of Abu Bakr that Aisha radiallahu anha said, Wallahi laqad nazala bi abi ma law nazala bil jibali rasiyati lahabaha. at the demise of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mammoth and colossal task that rested on the shoulders of my dad was of such a magnitude that if that were to be put on the mountains of the world, even the mountains would cave in. But yet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a balance in life. He didn't deny this child love, kindness and a smile. Like, listen, I'm busy now, we've got a lot to do, there's not a time to smile. You know, sometimes we have that where we lose the balance. We deny the child the smile. We don't afford the child the time. And then comes a time in my life, I'm calling my son, Dad, my son come here, and he's like, Dad, I've got my own interest. Sorry, I've moved on. Abu Bakr picks him up and hugs him and embraces him. And then he looks at Ali and he said, Shibhun bin Nabi, laysa shabihan bi Ali. Oh, Ali, if you don't mind, I know he's your son, but he doesn't look like you. He looks like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, for Ali radiallahu anhu, it was an honor to say that my child looks like his maternal grandfather. It was an absolute honor. So anyway, I was saying that in an Islamic environment, you're a child. And if you're a child, then we show you absolute love. Just love, kindness, perseverance, tolerance. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, there was some mucus that was dripping from his nose. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself took it and cleaned it and loved him and embraced him. That was the kind of love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed to Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. And the examples are more than we can possibly think. And then you can be an adult. And if you're an adult, you assume responsibility. Understand me clearly. You're a child and you deserve love. Absolute love. Or then you're an adult and you embrace responsibility. But today we're dealing with a crisis in the world which has plagued and rocked the earth. We have children who are not kids and not adults, and they don't know where they belong. We have this window period. He's too big to be given. No, sorry, Dad, I cannot kiss you like I'm here. Sorry. Yeah. No, Dad, like, sorry. Yeah. So he's too big for me to call him and give him a hug, and he's too small to take up a responsibility. And it is this period on the earth with the youth. Don't know where they fit. That is cause havoc. They are no longer small that we give them those hugs, and they are not assuming responsibility. In Islam, you are either this or that. You're a kid and it's love, or you're an adult and it's responsibility. When the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had dispatched the expedition of Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, then you would know that in that group were the likes of Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu was in his 50s. And Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was 17 years of age. Look at the age disparity. كانت القراء أصحاب مجلس عمر كهولا كانوا أو شبانا. كانت القراء أصحاب مجلس عمر. Who formed the cabinet of Umar? The political cabinet of Umar. Those who were the consultants of Umar. Those who were the advisors to Umar. It was the learned people. كُهُولًا كَانُوا أَوْ شُبَّانًا. Whether they were elderly or they were young, age was not a credential. Age was not a factor, but rather it was knowledge. If you had knowledge and you were sound, you were called on board. So that's just a preamble to my talk. What I was saying is that, mashallah, you had this great graduation, Jalsa. It's imperative that we nurture our children on those correct values and instill within them those correct thinking that they understand and appreciate the rights they owe to society. Because that's the thinking, how you mold the shape of a Muslim child growing up, where he grows up not with expectations from society, but he grows up understanding what he owes to society. This is the duty I owe to everyone. And that brings me to what I actually wanted to focus on today. and tie it up with obviously Human Concern International. I'm a strong believer of three things which I advocate from time to time, and I'm going to seize the moment today and share with myself and you three advices. I believe, in my humble opinion, may Allah guide me and you and inspire the correct words to both of us, that if we can imbibe this and take this to heart, inshallah, it will take care of our worldly and our matters of akhirah. The first advice that I say to myself, and based on Quran and Sunnah, and to the youth and the elderly alike, is Islam has impressed upon us greatly, repeatedly, emphatically, explicitly, unequivocally, the rights and the duties we owe to our parents. The rights we owe to our parents in Islam is more than I can possibly explain to you in an hour, or more than you can capture and digest. And the rewards for that is supreme, is immense. We all know the very famous incident of the three people who were stuck in the cave. They were blocked. The hadith is in Bukhari. They were walking in the previous nations and they got into a cave and a boulder blocked the mouth of the cave. And for many of us in life, it might not be a cave and it might not be a boulder, but it's surely a crisis where everything fails us. It might be a chronic illness where doctors have given up hope. Allah forbid, it might be a delinquent young boy who has become or reached a level that he can no longer be rehabilitated from the addiction of drugs and the scourge of drugs. Or it could be a financial crisis and could have ripple effects. But effectively, we all at some point in our life find ourselves stranded by circumstances and we desperately calling out for some miraculous intervention. Some miracle needs to happen in my life. And here these people were trapped in a cave, the boulder blocked, and that was it. I mean, we hear of people who have phobias in an elevator, right? And I know of a friend of mine, he has this phobia that if he uses a washroom and if the wall is like, you know, flush against the ceiling, he cannot lock the door. It's just the panic, the sheer panic that if I'm locked inside here. So if he uses a public facility or an airport or somewhere else, you know what, he's going to have to deal with it if nobody's there. Like, sorry, you know, hey. But he just cannot lock it. Just the panic and the phobia and the nervousness and the apprehension that if this thing is locked, and there's no way to exit, right? So we hear about this from time to time, and it can be traumatic, it can be very traumatic. But we all find, we all need to have a spiritual account. What do we need, my brothers? A spiritual account. People invest elsewhere, and invest in property, so when things are bad, you can rely on those investments. So just look at the richness of these three companions. Allahu Akbar. You're traveling, you are clueless of those that are with you. You don't have any idea on their individual spiritual status. So now the boulder has blocked and إِنَّهُ لَا يُنْجِيكُم مِّنْ هَذِهِ إِلَّا أَن تَدْعُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِصَالِحِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. Okay folks, there's no way we're coming out of here. This is looking bad. I guess the only way out here is I need each one of you to tap into his spiritual reserves and pull out something amazing, present it to Allah, and hopefully it can do magic for us. That's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first one comes out, and he says, and the others are just like looking. Allahumma innahu kana li shaykhan kabiran, wa kuntu la adbiqu qablahuma ahlan wala malan, fana'abi talabu shajari yawman. Allah, you know I had these old aged parents of mine. Inke umar dal chuki, inke kamar jhuk chuke, burhape ne unko khatam kar diya. I had these old, aged, frail parents of mine, oh my Allah. And it was my practice, I would go out daily, I would get milk, come back and offer the milk to my parents. They would drink, and when my dad and my mom was done, I would bring it to my kids and then offer it to my kids. And one day I went in the pastures and in the meadows, and I got delayed, and in the interim, by the time I came back, my dad and my mom had retired to bed. And I had come back quite late, and the vessel was in my hand, and my mom was sleeping, and I stood by my mom's bedside. Allah, you know this, Allah, you are aware of this. I stood there, Allah. وَالصِّبْغَةُ يَتَغَاضَوْنَ عِنْدَ قَدَمَيَّ. And my children were yelling at my feet out of hunger, Allah. And I couldn't imagine my kids being hungry. But I also couldn't imagine giving my kids before my mom had had her share. And Allah, you know how difficult that night passed for me. I just didn't know how to balance it out. I had the challenge of my mom and my kids. And I stood at the bedside of my mom. And today a kid or the young boy doesn't have the patience to take his mom to the mall and wait in the car. Or probably if the mom wants to visit someone, he's uneasy, he's anxious, he's restless. Like, mom, do quick, I need to go, I've got other errands to attend to. I need to hook up with my buddies, I need to go here, I need to do this. And I stood there, Allah. حَتَّى بَرِقَ الْفَجْرُ. Until the flush of dawn. And when my mom's eyes opened up, I then presented the vessel to her, and she drank. Oh Allah. Allahumma in kuntu fa'altu dhalika ibtigha'a wajhik. Allah, if I did this for your pleasure, which you know, I ask you through the medium of this action, rescue us, Allah, rescue us. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he prayed, and the other said, Ameen, and the boulder moved. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُمْ They didn't touch it, because there was no way you could physically move this. There was nothing. You needed a miracle to happen, a pure miracle to happen here. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ الْخُرُوجِ But it was inadequate to facilitate the exit. So it moved slightly. They could see a niche, but they couldn't get out of it. And then the second person came. And he said, Allahumma innahu kanat li ibnatu am. Allah, I had a cousin of mine, and I just loved her. I was so fond of her. Rishq ne ghalib nikamma kar diya, warna hum bhi aadmi the kaam ke. عشق نے غالب نکمہ کر دیا ورنہ ہم بھی آدمی تھے کام کے غالب poet says the love of a woman and my fantasy over her and my illicit passion rendered me incapacitated and I became non-productive otherwise I also had skill and competence and charisma I could also do a lot in my life but once I got into this I lost my entire thinking pattern and those who sat in the company of the pious عشق نے احمد مجلہ کر دیا ورنہ ہم بھی آدمی تھے نام کے کسی نے تو کیا خوب کہا عشق نے احمد مجلہ کر دیا ورنہ ہم بھی آدمی تھے نام کے that connecting myself to the pious illuminated me otherwise I was also a man of name and no merit so for one getting involved I lost my whole focus and I lost my whole vision and I lost my whole understanding you know Ismail was the great Arabic authority And he said, I went to the tribe in Yemen, Banu Udra, and I went in the pursuit of learning the Arabic language. And when I came there, because when you go into the rural areas, that's where you learn the language in its original form. So when I came there, I seen it was engraved on a plaque. بِاللَّهِ أَخْبِرُوا أَيُّهَا الْعُشَّاقِ إِذَا اشْتَدَّ وَجْدٌ بِمْرِئٍ كَيْفَ يَصْنَعُوا Oh people, help a young man who's gripped in the fantasy of a woman. He doesn't know if it's night or day, if it's morning or night, or it's summer or winter, please help him. بِاللَّهِ أَخْبِرُوا أَيُّهَا الْعُشَّاقُ إِذَا اشْتَدَّ وَجْدٌ بِمْرِئٍ كَيْفَ يَصْنَعُ So Ismail said, I replied and I wrote, يُدَاوِي هَوَاهُ وَيَكْتُمُ سِرَّهُ وَيَصْبِرُ فِي كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ وَيَخْضَعُ I said, listen brother, whoever you are and who wrote this graffiti here, and whoever wrote this here, you know they write on strange places, love you, miss you, think you, and pine for you and yearn for you and if it wasn't for you and all that yeah, yeah. Beparda haseeno se hua tang zamana aankhon ne shuru kar diya ab dil ko satana beparda haseeno se hua tang zamana aankhon ne shuru kar diya ab dil ko satana لیکن اگر آنکھوں کو تو ان سے نہ بچائے ممکن نہیں دل کا تیرے ان سے بچانا پاگل کی طرح چلتے ہیں عشاق مجازی بے چین ہے دن رات یہ بدنام زمانہ So I wrote there, يُدَاوِي هَوَاهُ وَيَكْتُمُ سِرَّهُ وَيَصْبِرُ فِي كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ وَيَخْدَعُ. Listen, you infatuated, you must treat your malady, my brother. Conceal your fantasy and sabr, sabr, sabr. You know, one doctor said things are so bad, the patients no longer have patience. The patient, I-E-N-T, doesn't have patience. يُدَاوِي هَوَاهُ وَيَكْتُمُ سِرَّهُ. Conceal it. وَيَصْبِرْ. Make sabr. So the next day I passed by, it was written there, كَيْفَ يُدَاوِي وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى. كَيْفَ يُدَاوِي وَالْهَوَى قَاتِلُ الْفَتَى وَفِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ غُصَّةٌ يَتَجَرَّعُ. کہنے کی بات تو آسان ہے, مجھے پوچھو میں اندر کتنا جل رہا ہوں. How do I persevere when every day, every moment I think, I dream, I fantasize? So Ismail, he said, I came the next day, I wrote again on it. I wrote, إِن لَمْ يُتِقْ صَبْرًا وَكَتْمًا فَلَيْسَ لَهُ شَيْءٌ سِوَى الْمَوْتِ أَنْفَعُ. Listen, it's better, and listen to this to the youth. It is better for you to crush your evil fantasy and live a life beyond, or succumb to your evil fantasy and allow it to crush you for the rest of your life. So either you grind it and you crush it, and then you unshackle yourself from the shackles of fake and illicit fantasies and you live beyond, or you succumb to it and then it governs your life. So he said, the next day I came, and it was written there, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا ثُمَّ مُتْنَا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا ثُمَّ مُتْنَا هَنِيئًا لِأَصْحَابِ النَّعِيمِ نَعِيمُهُمْ وَلِلْعَاشِقِ الْمِسْكِينِ مَا يَتَجَرَّعُ فَبَلِّغْ سَلَامِي إِلَى مَنْ كَانَ لِلْوَصْلِ يَمْنَعُ سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا ثُمَّ مُتْنَا فَبَلِّغْ سَلَامِي إِلَى مَنْ كَانَ لِلْوَصْلِ يَمْنَعُ هَنِيئًا لِأَصْحَابِ النَّعِيمِ نَعِيمُهُمْ وَلِلْعَاشِقِ الْمِسْكِينِ مَا يَتَجَرَّعُ. Listen, I heard your message and I obliged, and in the end I went. Good luck to those who live a pure life and a chaste life, and the wholesome pleasure they enjoy in the obedience of Allah. And woe be to the miseries of those who live a sinful life, because it is nothing more than a vicious circle. So anyway, this person said, Allahumma innahu kanat li ibnatu am. Allah, I had a young cousin of mine. Kuntu uhibbuha ka ashaddi ma yuhibbu ar-rijalu an-nisa. Allahu Akbar. I was infatuated over her. I was attached to her, fond of her, the most that a male could ever be attached to a female. Such were my feelings, such were my passions, such were my inclinations for her. And I came to her with a lustful advancement, and she declined. And she said no. And then crisis and desperation came in her life. And she realized that I had feelings for her. So she asked me for money again. You know, they say, there is a vulnerable sister out. You can pray for her, P-R-A-Y, or you can P-R-E-Y, pray on her. You might be helping her. People think you're praying as in helping, but unfortunately you're abusing. May Allah protect us all. There's an amazing incident written of Hassan ibn Abi Sinan. Hassan ibn Abi Sinan. A beautiful lady came to his door begging. So he modestly gazed, and then he told his servant, give her hundreds of dirhams. Give her hundreds of dirhams. So the servant said, but she's a beggar, man. You can get away with 2 dirhams. Why do you want to give her so much money? He said, she's a woman of beauty. She's a woman of elegance. And I don't want her desperation to take her to a point where she has to lower her honor and her respect to generate revenue. So I'm giving her money so that she can live with respect and dignity, and someone can wed her with honor and dignity. I don't want that her desperation must take her to a point where she has to lower her honor and her respect. Can you imagine the respect Islam teaches us for women? There's something written so beautiful in the tafsir. When our parents Adam and Hawa were taken out of paradise, then Allah said to Adam, and this is deduced from the Quran, and look at the beauty of the Quran, right?
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى فَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌّ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى.
Oh Adam, this is your enemy. Let him not expel you and your spouse from Jannah. Because if the devil expels you from Jannah, فَتَشْقَى. Allah said, Adam, you will have to endure difficulty. Allah didn't say, فَتَشْقِيَا, you and your wife. And then Allah said, إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَضْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. That in Jannah, amongst other things, four things are free. Food is available, drink is available, clothing is available, and shelter. But, O Adam, if you come out of paradise, you will have to toil for this. But as far as your wife is concerned, it's free for her in Jannah and free for her on this earth as well. Why? Allah said, لَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. Not فَتَشْقِيَا. فَتَشْقَى. You will have to go through toiling. And you will have to provide it. And that's the honor that Allah gives a Muslim woman. That as much as she enjoyed those heavenly benefits in paradise, she enjoys it on this earth. And Allah has put that responsibility on others around that woman. And those heavenly perks and privileges are given to that woman on this earth as well. فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ. So, oh Allah, I was very attached. And this woman was in a crisis. And then I asked her for money. She asked me for money and I said, okay, but please give me access to yourself. And desperation, she obliged. And so I gave her the money and she gave me access, Allah. And فَلَمَّا قَعَدْتُ بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهَا. The words of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as much as Islam impresses upon us modesty and bashfulness, but remember, wherever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said something, we say it as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said it. And I became so intimate and so close up to this girl that I wanted to indulge in the forbidden, that I was literally sitting with her in total proximity. But look at the fear of Allah in this sister. And she said, listen, I'm desperate, so I have given you access to myself. But وَلَا تَفُضَّ الْخَاتَمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ وَلَا تَفُضَّ الْخَاتَمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ. Don't deflower me unlawfully. Don't deflower me unlawfully. Don't destroy me. Don't deflower me. And Allah, you are my witness. At that point, I backed off, O Allah. And I stepped back for your pleasure. How many of us can have the muscle and the strength and the clout? Leave alone anything else. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, لَا تَأْمَنَنَّ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ أَخَلْ مَا فِي الرِّجَالِ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ أَمِينُ إِنَّ الْأَمِينَ وَإِنْ تَعَفَّفْ لا بد أنه بنظرة سيخون القبر أوفى من وثقت بعهده ما للنساء سوى القبور حسون. There's barely a man that doesn't rotate his gaze or doesn't cast a nasty glance. Even if a man is somewhat biased, he would succumb to the abuse of his gaze. So at that time I backed off Allah, and you know I did this for your pleasure. I ask you through the medium and the agency of this action, O my Allah, you rescue us. And the boulder moves again. And the boulder moves again. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ الْخُرُوجِ. And again, they couldn't exit. And then comes the third person. And I'm going to tell you a common thread between the three. There's something very important here. Just listen to the tale. And it's something that I was alerted to by one of the great scholars. And I said, subhanAllah, that's the beauty of our deen. And the third person comes. And imagine your companions, they are not rich with wallets, they're not rich with credit cards, but they're all rich with amal. Each one of them has his own relation with Allah. And the third one comes up and he's like, Allahumma innahu kanat li ujara. Allah, I had employed some people casually. And one employee I had, he worked for me. And then he left without taking his remuneration. So I had not paid him and he went. And his money was sitting with me. And I thought to myself, I could take that money and I could use it for myself and let it grow. And when he comes back, I will give him his takings for the day. But then I said, no, let me think on his behalf and let me use his money and invest it for him so that his money can grow. How many of us think like that? I'm an employer, I want to grow, I want my business to go forward. But do I realize my employee also wants to climb the ladder? He also has a family, he also has kids. It is sad how we exploit. It is sad how we abuse. It is sad how we underpay. In English they say, give everybody more than their due and you'll be a winner. Give everybody more than their due and you'll be a winner. Let the man leave happy. You're better off overpaying than underpaying. You're better off forgiving a person for a mistake he did than taking him to task for a mistake he didn't do. It's better to err in pardon than to err in implication. Rather you err on the safer side. Benefit of the doubt, oh, you know what, I didn't realize I paid him extra. Good luck, good luck. There's no issues, you'll come clean before your Lord. But if it's the other way around, then I'm afraid the crises are going to be severe. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Imam Bukhari concludes his hadith compilation, Babu, قول الله تعالى وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ تُوزَنْ وَقَالَ مُجَاهِدَ الْقِسْطَاسُ وَالْعَدْلُ بِالْرُومِيَّةِ This is the final chapter with which Imam Bukhari concludes. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ And we will put the scales of justice. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا No soul will be wronged in any way. وَإِن كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ And let it be an action the size of a mustard seed. أَتَيْنَا بِهَا We will produce it. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَسِبِينَ Our knowledge is adequate for accountability. يَا بُنَيَّ In Surah Al-Qumran, إِنَّهَا أَيْ الْخَصْلَةُ السَّيِّئَةُ إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ لَطِيفٌ بِإِسْتِخْرَاجِهَا خَبِيرٌ بِمَكَانِهَا So I said, okay, let me take his money and invest it. And I invested it. And subhanAllah, the money just started growing and growing. And it just evolved and it matured and the investments just went. You know, sometimes you take someone's money and then you invest it for him. And as it starts growing, bati niyat bagri jai. Bati niyat bagri jai. Then your niyat starts changing. You have dilution. You have pollution. You have contamination. And you start thinking twice. That, oh really man, you know what? Oh well, I didn't make a pledge to him, so it's fine, I can do it for myself. You know, I don't really have to give it to him. And that's why we don't get that barakah in our life. That's why we don't get that barakah in our life. And he started growing. And years later the man came and said, brother, do you know a few years ago I worked for you? Yeah. Okay man, I'm really in a crisis man, I need some money. Can you sort me out please, that my one day's taken. كل ما ترى من الإبل والغنم والبقر من أجرك. Can you see this entire valley of camels that's yours? Can you see all that cattle that's yours? Can you see all that lamb that's yours? The words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يا عبد الله لا تستهزئ بي. He responded by saying, Oh brother, please don't mock me, don't tease me, don't scoff at me. Really, don't belittle me. I know I'm a beggar. I know I'm working poor. I'm breaking even. Really, I came to ask you. He said, La astahzi'u bik, brother, I'm not mocking you, I'm promising you, that's exactly what's your money. Wallah, this is mine? Yes. فَأَخَذَهُ فَاسْتَاقَهُ فَلَمْ يَتْرُكْ شَيْئًا The Prophet said, he took everything and he went. And this man then made dua. Now, one was you made the money for yourself at that stage. Good luck. But all the money and all those camels and cattle couldn't take you out of that cave. And you touched the heart of someone, and you were honest to someone, and you benefited someone, and you brought goodness in the life of someone, and then you asked Allah through the agency of that good action, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the boulder turned, and they exited with a fresh breath of life and hope. Did you realize something in this hadith? All three of them, when they interceded to Allah, they interceded through the agency of an action towards a fellow human and not an act of piety between them and Allah.
Nobody said, Allah, you know I observed that fast, Allah. Allah, you know I stood in prayer, Allah. Each one of them spoke about their actions towards the creation. Be it my parents, be it a fellow girl and a fellow human, or be it a fellow employee. From this we learn the importance of the rights we owe to fellow humans. So as I was saying to you, there are three advices, and that was just the beginning. I don't want to take up too much time also. Time just moves on. That Allah has impressed upon us the rights to our parents. The benefit of that is beyond our comprehension. And remember, my mom always says, and may Allah reward her for this, I take it so profound and it's so amazing. She always says to me, she says, there are many on the earth who don't have kids. Either they're not married, or by the will of Allah, the union has not been blessed with children. But there is no human on the earth who doesn't have parents. So if I speak about parenting, it might be applicable to some and non-relevant to others. But if I speak of duties to parents, it's relevant to every soul on this earth, because you have a duty to your parents when they're alive or they're late. The aspect of being a good spouse, it involves those that are married or those that are prospective couples. Parenting, you know, they say parenting, and I read about this because being a father of three adolescent kids, and I ask you to pray for my kids and I pray for yours, because it's turbulent time for our kids. It's turbulent time, right? There is no perfect father. That was the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they say reaching out to your children is like dialing a phone number. If you miss one digit, you don't get through. If you miss one digit, and if you realize the digit as an afterthought, you dial the number and then like, oh, 416, okay, I'll just dial it in the end. No, it doesn't help. 416 had to come in the beginning. I'm using the right code here, forgive me. So you got to dial every digit in the order, in its merit. You miss one digit, you don't get through. And that's the challenge today. Reaching out to the youth is a challenge of its own. And it's a fair amount of importance that we endeavor and we bridge the gap and we end the gulf and we facilitate that relationship. So Abdullah ibn Umar, Nafi says, I was traveling with Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and we were going to Makkah. So he would ride his camel, and with his camel he had a donkey. Whenever he would get tired of the camel, then he would hop onto the back of the camel, onto the donkey. كَانَ إِذَا مَلَّ رُكُوبَ الرَّاحِلَ كَانَ إِذَا مَلَّ رُكُوبَ الرَّاحِلَ Because obviously a camel, it's a bit strenuous, the sitting, the hump, the ride, it doesn't give the same feel. Not as you have the BM with the bucket seats, and if you're a BM guy, or you're a, I don't know if it's here like that, but I know in South Africa it's a big thing, he's a BM guy, he's a Mercedes guy, or he likes his Golf and his GTI, and, you know, lowered suspension and whatever else have you. So, it makes much of a difference. You know, some of these advanced cars, like when you take in that bend, then it almost hugs you and tugs you. And you're like, okay, oh no, it was the seat. Right? It was like a bit of a romantic embrace for a moment, and you were feeling a bit nice and ticklish, and then you realize, no, okay, the car has been positioned like that, and it's just the feel, and it's the road holding, and it's the thrill, and it's cool. So anyway, when Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu would be going to Makkah, then he would be on camelback, and with him he had a donkey and a mule as well. كَانَ إِذَا مَلَّ رُكُوبَ الرَّاحِلَ Then he would ride on that. So he's riding along, and then he spots someone in the distance. And he says, Alasta Fulan ibn Fulan, aren't you so and so? He said, yes. Fanazala, he gets off. He gives his conveyance to this person, and he says, Irkab, mount on. Then he takes out his scarf and his turban, and he said, Ushdud biha ra'asak, use this. Take this conveyance and take this garment, and off you go. So Nafi' said, I said to Abdullah ibn Umar, Innahumul A'rab, yardawna bil yaseer, ama yakfihi dirhaman. He's a villager man, he's a Bedouin. Give him 2 dirhams and he's happy. What are you giving him your whole conveyance? He says, Inna abahu kana wuddan li Umar. You see, this man, his late father and my late father were friends. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after the death of your father, if you really want to bring joy to the soul of your father, locate your father's friends and show kindness to them. إِنَّ مِنْ أَبَرِّ الْبِرِّ. Today we wouldn't even give our father's friend a ride, man. We wouldn't even give our own dad a ride. I'm just like, what are we saying? What are we saying? What have you done with your wealth? Inna min abarril birri, silatul rajul, the best act of kindness to your dad is to be kind to his relatives after his demise. Ya Rasulullah, hal baqiya min birri abawayya shay'un abruhuma bihi ba'da mawtihima. Is there any act of kindness I can do to my parents after their demise? And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. What can you do? As-salatu alayhima, to pray for them. Wal istighfaru lahuma, and to ask Allah forgiveness. Wa infadu ahdihima, and to honor their promises. Wasilatu rahim allati la tusal illa bihima, and the relationship that you enjoy with them, to honor it. So may Allah make us amongst those people that we can be kind to our parents. That's my first message. The second message that I generally say to myself and to you, my brother, and to one and all is, don't ever have a judgmental attitude in life. I am better, I know more, and what he's doing is wrong, and what I'm doing is right. That is poison and cancer, and it's not benign, it's malignant, to use a medical phrase. That will spread and it will eat up your iman. It will eat up the holier than thou. The holier than thou attitude. Nigahe aybgiri se jo dekha ahle alam ko, koi kafir, koi fasik, koi zindiq akbar tha, magar jab ho gaya dil ihtisab nafs pe mail, hua tabit ke har farzand adam mujhse behtar hai. Nigahe aybgiri se jo dekha ahle alam ko, koi kafir, koi fasik, koi zindiq akbar tha. When I rotated the critical gaze around me, then I said, he's an apostate, he's a renegade, he's an atheist, he's an agnostic, he has no faith, he has no values, he has no relationship. That was the kind of gaze I had. Magar jab ho gaya dil ihtisab nafs pe ma'il. But then I said, let me do some soul searching. And I introspected myself. Huwa thabit ke har farzand adam mujhse behtar tha. I was convinced to say, every human that inhabits the earth is better than me. So my brother, that attitude, I say it to my students, I've said it to my kids, and I promote it. If anybody wants to remember me for three advices in my life, it's these three advices. Value your parents, honor your parents, associate yourself, serve them, honor their cause, execute their wishes, deliver on their vision, bring joy to their soul. You know, Muhammad ibn Haytham says in Hayyatul Awliya, it is mentioned that he says, I used to go to the house of Bishr Hafiz. Bishr Hafiz was one of the great, great luminaries. He was the contemporary of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Right? Ma akhrajat Baghdadu atamma aqlan minhu. Baghdad didn't produce a man like him. Ma urifa lahu ghibatun li ayy muslim. He never backbited any Muslim in his life. Ka anna fi kulli sha'ratin minhu aqla. He was so intelligent, like every strand of hair was one brain. Lo qusima aqluhu ala ahli Baghdad la saru uqala wa ma naqasa min ilmihi shay. If you had to distribute his brains to the whole of Baghdad, everybody would be intelligent and his intelligence wouldn't decrease. That was the intelligence there. He said, I used to go visit Bishr Hafi. So one day I went there, and Muhammad ibn Haytham says, so his sister told me that, please, would you sell this wool and buy me some fish? So I sold the wool, and I bought fish, and I brought it home. And then when I brought it home, his sister prepared fish, and then Bishr Hafi came home. So Bishr Hafi, seeing the fish was samaku mawdu' prepared, so he asked his sister, what's all this fish about? So she said, Ra'aytu ummi wa ummak fil manam. I seen my mom and your mom in a dream. And our mom said to me, my son, your brother Bishr, hasn't had fish for a long time. And oh my daughter, if you want to bring joy to me, sell what you have and make fish for my son. I know. Prepare that meal, cook that meal, marinate that meal and prepare it for my son. And subhanallah, falamma zakartu ummi, when I mentioned my mom, he started tearing. And he said, رحم الله أمنا. May Allah have mercy on our mom. تغتم لي حيا وميتا. She prepared for me when she was alive, and she arranged for me after her demise. That's a parent. So let's move on quickly, and then Sheikh Muslim will come forward, inshallah. So I was saying the second thing is that don't have this attitude that I'm better and I know more. And my paradise is guaranteed. This is something Allah despises. This is something Allah dislikes. Because we don't think low of anyone. Malik bin Dinar says, I was walking and there was a kid that was playing. He's a kid, he's a child. What does he know? Who's he? What is he doing? No, we don't know. We don't know who's doing what work, my brother. And we don't know Allah accepts whose work. That's it. Only Qiyamah, one of my friends always mentions this year, Qiyamah is a day full of surprises. Full of surprises. The people we thought probably would be right in front in paradise, lo and behold, we might be appalled. And the people who we thought would be an arm's length away from paradise might be leading others into paradise. So Qiyamah is a day full of surprises, because none of us has guarantee on what's going to happen and how it's going to unfold. Right? We talk of life and we say topsy-turvy. And we say it's precarious. Precarious. What is precarious? It can go anyway, this way or that way. So anyway, I was walking, and Malik bin Dinar said there were some kids there, they were playing. So I walked by and I said, he's a kid. And after a little while I said, no, he's a kid, I should come back and greet him, man. He's a kid, let me greet him. So I came back and I said, Assalamu alaikum, boy, or lad, how are you? He said, Walaikum assalam, Malik. Oh, so the way the boy answered, he was smart, he was skilled, he was competent, he was calculated. So I'm like, okay, let me engage him, let me quiz him a little bit. So now we quiz about sports, we quiz about currency, we quiz about politics, we quiz about the in things. Those are the kind of things we would quiz a boy. But these people would quiz on spiritual notes. So I started chatting with the boy, and I said, مَلْ فَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْعَقْلِ وَالنَّفْسِ? Oh, young boy, can I ask you a question? Yeah, go for it. What's the difference between the human intellect and the human ego? So he said, Malik, you really want the answer? He's like, of course I want it, because that's what I'm asking you. Okay? نَفْسُكَ الَّذِي مَنَعَتْكَ عَنِ السَّلَامِ وَعَقْلُكَ الَّذِي حَرَّضَكَ عَلَيْهِ. You want to know? Your ego is that which told you, ignore him, he's a boy, don't worry, just walk on, man. And it was your brain that told you, come back and greet, because the Prophet ﷺ also greeted kids. And Malik said, I got a shock of my life. I thought him to be a regular boy playing. And I realized he had a more profound understanding than I could possibly imagine. So the second message I say, simple to myself and to you, my brother, is don't think great and superior of yourself. In Ujb, in Tafiul Ghafilin, it's mentioned that a man worshipped Allah for 6 decades. عَبَدَ اللَّهَ رَجُلٌ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً. And after 60 years, he worshipped Allah, and then he prayed to Allah. And then he prayed and his prayer was not answered. And then he said to himself, oh really, you know what, you think too much of yourself. If you were as great as you thought, your prayer would have readily be accepted. And then Allah sent wahi to the Nabi that tell the servant of mine, in this one moment in which he annihilated himself and he told himself how feeble and how useless he is, has surpassed the merit of 60 years of worship. Because worship in essence is servitude, the denial of your own greatness and the confession of the supremacy of Allah. And for 60 years you didn't do it. And when your prayer was rejected, it, whether deliberately or unconsciously and inadvertently, you uttered it. But that in essence is worship. That Allah, you are the greatest and I'm nothing. So that's the second message, my brother. We don't think great or superior about ourselves, that I know better, I've done better, that's in the hands of Allah. And the third message, and that's obviously tied up to, and that's a general message, but it's tied up to the Human Concern International. Be amongst those who give charity. The quickest and safest and easiest way to paradise is generosity. That's not my words. You can read the Quran and Hadith. Imam Shafi said, وَإِنْ كَثُرَتْ عُيُوبُكَ فِي الْبَرَايَا وَسَرَّكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهَا غِطَاءُ تَسَتَّرْ بِالسَّخَاءِ فَكُلُّ عَيْبٍ يُغَطِّيهِ كَمَا قِيلَ السَّخَاءُ. If you've done too much wrong in your life, and all of us have, and you want to conceal and cover it, and you want Allah's happiness, then you can conceal all your wrong with generosity. Sadaqah is such an action, it is so dear and so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the virtues of which are beyond our comprehension. Badiru bis-sadaqah fa innal balaa la yatakhattaha. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hasten in discharging charity, because a calamity descending from the heavens cannot surpass charity. If it's coming down your way and charity comes, then charity repels it. Charity pushes it back, and that calamity cannot come. And amongst the many benefits of giving charity is that a person whose hand is generous and he spends a lot, on the day of, at the time of death, Allah will grant him a pleasant death. Allah will grant him an easy death. Allah will grant him a good death. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, when it came to equipping the army, he spent and he spent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will spend? And he said, مِئَةَ بَعِيرٍ بِأَحْلَاسِهَا وَأَقْتَابِهَا. مِئَةَ بَعِيرٍ. There's another incident. In Medina, there was some famine and drought. So just then a caravan of Sayyidina Uthman had come in. So people said, let's go and negotiate with Uthman radiallahu anhu. They said, oh Uthman, what costs you 10, we'll give you 11. Sayyidina Uthman said, sorry man, but I have a better offer on the table. Okay, we'll up it, we'll give you 12. He said, sorry, I got a better offer. Okay, Uthman, our last bid to you is 15. Uthman radiallahu anhu said, my first bid from the other side is higher than that. Fadzadani, fadzadani. So okay, who's offering you this? He said, Allah has offered me minimum 10. Minimum. Why must I enter into a transaction with you? My entire caravan laden with goods is for the poor. I leave you with this note, right? And then, inshallah, Brother Musleh will come forward. We all heard about Uwais Qarni. And he was a great man. And he was dutiful to his mum. And we know he suffered leprosy. And then Allah cured him. But I read something very amazing about him in Ibn Asakir, in Al-Jild al-Tasih, in the 9th volume. I read this myself. So the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba and said, now Umar used to also follow up, that يَأْتِيكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِنْ مُرَادٌ ثُمَّ مِنْ قَرْضٍ كَانَ بِهِ بَرَزْ فَبَرَأَ بِهِ مِنْهُ إِلَّا مَوْضِعَةَ دِرْهَمٍ. That there's a man that will come to you of Yemeni origin from the Murad branch of the Qarn tribe, and he has a mom and is very beautiful. Umar, if you meet him, please, you must ask him to make dua for your forgiveness. Imagine, Umar has been told. Umar has been told. And what was the virtue of this man? He was kind to his mother. That was it, right? Of course, he was a great man in his individual capacity. And Umar radiallahu anhu would keep on asking, and finally he met him, and he said, are you Uwais? And you from this? He said, please pray for me. Please pray for me. And then he prayed, and he made dua for Umar. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, can I write to the governor? Can I write to the governor of Yemen, man? He needs to honor you and promote you and elevate you and give you status. And he said, لَأَكُونَ فِي غَبَرَاءِ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ. Omar, just leave me where I am, and you know, nobody knows about me, and I'm happy where I am. That's it. Just leave me like this. So Omar left him. Next year, some people came from Yemen. So Omar said, do you know a man by the name of Uwais? He said, yeah. Tell me more about him. تَرَكْتُهُ رَتَّ الْبَيْتِ قَلِيلَ الْمَتَاءِ. Oh, he's breaking even. He's living hand to mouth. He's a beggar. He's battling. He's grappling. He doesn't have much. Oh, brother, you know who he is? The Prophet ﷺ told me that I must ask him to make dua. Oh, really? Okay. So he goes back. He meets him. Now, he was his neighbor all along, but he never gave him much prominence. Suddenly, he comes and he greets him with respect. So as soon as he does this, Uwais Qarni says, it looks like you went for Hajj. Yeah. And you met Umar. Correct. أَنْتَ حَدِيثُ عَهْدٍ بِسَفَرٍ صَالِحٍ. Okay, please make dua for me. Say, okay, no problem, I'll make dua for you. Now, the amazing thing of Uwais Qarni was, as long as you didn't recognize his piety, you could meet him daily. And as soon as you realize how noble he was, that was the last day you met him. This was his condition. He would camouflage himself. So as soon as people got a hint about who his piety was, then he didn't want, you know, that prominence and fame. I mean, if somebody say, you know what, mashallah, that's a long sajda, it gets longer. It gets longer, right? Because, you know, we're getting a bit of prominence for the moment. Do you know what Uwais Qarni used to say, my brother? Every evening, listen to this, when the sun would set, he would give
the last piece of bread in charity that he had. And then he used to say, Allahumma mamata ju'an fala tu'akhidni bihi. Allah, whoever dies across the globe out of poverty and penury and challenges, my sympathies and my empathies to them, don't hold me to task. I've given the last piece of bread in charity. And if he had anything surplus in clothing, he would give it in charity. And he would say, Allahumma mamata uryanan fala tu'akhidni bihi. Oh Allah, if anybody dies out of lack of shelter or clothing, don't hold me accountable. I gave the last bit in your path, oh Allah. My brothers, if we look in our closet, and we look in our cupboard, and we look in our homes, we like tell the son, just go in the house and get me that $50 bill. Yeah, there'll be like a stash there of 500, not that. There's some US dollars, not that. There's some pounds, leave that. There's some euros, leave that. Besides that, yeah, just bring that one. Okay, no problem. This one, no, not that one, the other, no, leave that, yeah, the other one, yeah. Subhanallah, how do we answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So inshallah, there's a call to respond to kids who are dumb, who are mute, who are physically challenged, and their prayer will come to you. That man who aided someone, and it benefited him, end of the day, it rescued him from his cave. How about aiding those people who cannot physically speak, who cannot audibly speak, but the heart would speak to Allah. And can you imagine the du'as that will come your way, and the goodness that will come. May Allah make us all amongst those who value our parents. May Allah make us amongst all of those people who think great of the next person and not of ourselves. And may Allah make us amongst those people that charity is a common practice.